One of the great chapters, boy, I'll tell you. We're going to look tonight, you know, as Job continues his longest discourse, and we're right in the middle of all that. Matter of fact, it's his longest discourse, which began in chapter 26, ends in chapter 31, and it is also his closing discourse. Before we even look into chapter 28 tonight, it's very important that you embrace this. Chapter 28 is one of the greatest literary works in all of the world. I pray in Jesus' name, whether you're old, whether you're young, middle-aged, it doesn't matter, if you're 7 years old, that chapter 28 becomes literally embedded in your heart and mind, because that is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, which tells us where wisdom can be found. It's a glorious chapter. I love this chapter. Remember, you know, wisdom, meaning God's wisdom, is the right use of knowledge and how vital that is for today. Remember Job's three friends. There they are. They're sitting with him in the ash heap. Job is sick. He is dying. He's covered in worms. It boils all over his body. His teeth are falling out. He's feverish. His skin is literally falling off of his bones from the things that he is going through. And his friends are not comforters. You know, they come on the scene there in the ash heap, and they come forth with all this incredible, well, I would use the word knowledge, okay? All this knowledge, and but most of it's bad theology, okay? But not only that, they maintained that they knew the way to God. They knew what God was thinking. They knew that Job had sinned and brought all of this upon him. That's why his children was dead. That's why he lost everything, including his health. The problem with all that is they had a lot of knowledge, but it was bad knowledge, and they had very little wisdom. Matter of fact, I call it just wisdom from the ash heap. You know what I'm saying? The place where waste is disposed of. So that's the kind of knowledge that they have. But tonight, Job answers one of the greatest questions in the universe. Where can true wisdom, where can wisdom really be found? So tonight, as we study chapter 28, and only these short 28 verses, remember then whenever we come to scripture like silver and gold and precious metals and so forth, if you study the Word of God, you'll learn that those precious stones, emeralds, and whatever is sometimes used by the writer or by the Holy Spirit to describe symbols of wisdom in God's Word. So you'll see that as we move through that tonight. So let's begin tonight where wisdom is found, beginning in verse 1, chapter 28. Job continues now his discourse, and here's what he says to his three friends. He says, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from the ore. So Job opens up this great chapter and he starts talking about various metals, talking about mining them, if you will. And of course, man knows how to mine them. Man knows how to find them. Okay, but you know what? Does it take great effort to do that sort of thing? Absolutely, to find any treasure on earth. And he goes in this long discourse here. Let me read it to you. And he says, man, and let me insert the word, let's say miners, all right? Man puts an end to the darkness, or he penetrates, a miner penetrates into the earth's darkness. And he searches or literally explores every recess for one in the darkness and the shadow of death. So man, when they mine, they go into the hidden regions and they bring it up into the light, these wonderful resources, and exposes them. And he breaks open a shaft, meaning a mine shaft, away from the people in places forgotten by feet. And they hang, meaning the miners, they hang far above from men. They swing to and fro, literally meaning by ropes. And as for the earth, from when it comes, bread, but underneath it is turned up as by the fire. So our earth, of course, produces food for us. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, not even the falcon's eyes have seen it. And so, in other words, these treasures that Job is talking about that are hidden in the earth, even the falcon with the eyesight that he has, they have been hidden from him. The proud lions have trodden on it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. So in other words, Job is saying these deep minds that man cuts into, even proud lines or lines that are filled with courage, they don't have the courage to go down into that like man does. And he puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots or at the base. He cuts out channels in the rocks, or he breaks through solid rocks as he explores. And his eye sees every precious thing. And he dams up the streams from trickling. And what is hidden, he brings forth to light. Long discourse, but let's talk about it. What Job just did in this incredible chapter is he literally, in a sense, is describing a mining operation, isn't he? And he's saying, boy, look at the planning that it takes and all the searching that it takes and the tremendous labor and effort that it takes to find the precious treasure that is hidden in the earth. And you know what's amazing? I mean, think about going, I wouldn't go into a mine. You know what I'm saying? You ever gone into a mine? This side, you don't know, do you? You don't even know what a mine is, huh? You know, I remember in Nevada, you know, the silver mines. You don't want to get lost in one of those. That's another story, but I'll save it for something better than tonight. Now, with all that being said, isn't it amazing that man, then all the way back, Job could be the oldest book in the Bible. Man, even then, they would risk their lives to search out the precious treasures in order to be rich. But like man then and like man today, they do not have the courage, they do not have the patience to dig out the wisdom that only comes from God. Do you understand? Which is the greatest need in all of the world for a believer and for an unbeliever as well. They need God's wisdom. Now look at verse 12. We start our sermon tonight. And Job asks this great question, two questions actually. He says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? In other words, where does that kind of insight, where does it hide at? Where in the world is it? So, you know, where's wisdom found? I asked Siri. You know who Siri is, right? She didn't know. I asked her, I did. Hey, Siri, where can wisdom be found? You know. No. Did you know that there's no technology known to man as advanced as we are today that can discover wisdom, that can find wisdom? Not only that, wisdom is a greater treasure than all of the treasures combined on this earth, and it's inaccessible. Wisdom. Man can't find it. Why? Look at verse 13. Job says, you know what? Not only that, man does not know its value. Man doesn't know the value of wisdom, nor is it found in the land of the what? It's not found on planet Earth. Loved one, listen, what an incredible statement. Why is it with all this incredible accumulation of knowledge that we have today, why is it that we can't handle life any better than what it is? You ever think about that? I mean, we have so much knowledge, but we don't have any wisdom. Does that make sense? Because wisdom, man doesn't know its value. Not only that, the value of wisdom, you know, we don't understand how important those kind of things are. It says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding it is to be chosen rather than silver. So where can wisdom be found? And man doesn't know the value of it. Can't be found in the land of the living. Listen, this week, you know what happened in our country? Our national debt, for the first time in our history, hit $22 trillion. That's a lot of money under President Trump. Do you understand? Under President Obama, I mean, if you studied out his 8 years, you can't believe what happened in that administration. Did you know that he increased the debt load? And I'm beating him up. I'm not blaming him. If you voted for him, praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. Under his administration, did you know that the debt, it became, well, let me read it. It says, under the Obama administration, he racked up nearly as much debt in 8 years than the entire 232-year history of America. Do you hear what I just said? That is unbelievable. Now, Trump has increased it. Now we're up to $22 trillion. Did you know that if you had $22 trillion and you said, you know what, I'm going to spend every penny of it to search for wisdom on this earth? You go to every city, go to every village, go to every country, go to every think tank in the world, go to every university, and you know what you're going to find? You won't find wisdom. You know why there's a problem? It's not found in the land of the living. Are you listening to me? Well, this is, God's word is so good. And he goes in verse 14 and he says about wisdom. He says, well, the deep, or literally the ocean, says, well, it's not in me. In other words, wisdom, you're not going to find it in the ocean. He says, and the sea says, well, I don't know, it's not with me either. In other words, there's no wisdom with me. And then he says, it cannot be purchased. It cannot be bought with gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Now, let me ask you a question. Like Google Earth, man, you can go all over the earth. You can learn things. You can go into the sea. You can explore the ocean. Remember Jacques Cousteau? You know, Calypso? Do y'all remember that? Don't, come on, humor me tonight. I love you. You can be relaxed. If you want me to tighten you up, we'll take up another offering or something. No, listen. No, you can go study out all the ocean. It's beautiful. All the different waters and the things that live in the ocean. Man, you can do all those things. Matter of fact, I love the planets. And like, I have a little website that I go to, tells me every morning, okay, where the stars are, what's the name, you know, what's coming and so forth. You know, I don't know why I do those things, but I just do. I enjoy it. And you can go and study the earth, the ocean, the planets. But I'm going to ask you a question. Will they give you wisdom? No, but they will give you something. What will they give you? Thank you. God bless you. They'll give you knowledge. That's right. No, you'll learn a lot. You'll have a tremendous amount of knowledge. But the problem is, again, man, they don't know the value of wisdom, and nor can they comprehend the cost of true wisdom. They can't do it at all. It's what Job was saying. See, God's wisdom cannot be purchased. It cannot be bought. It can't be found here on this earth, okay? That's what Job is saying. And not only that, he says in verse 16, it cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold, crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged, talking about wisdom, exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. What did Job just tell us? He said, you know what? You can get all of the most valuable resources and substances known to man, but it still won't purchase wisdom. It won't purchase it at all. You see, true wisdom is truly expensive. And it certainly cannot be bought. You know, people say, I just want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? You know what the Bible, what the Bible tells you how to be happy? Listen to this in Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man, that's man or woman. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Have you ever said, man, I'm so happy I found wisdom today? And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds, meaning wisdom, they're better than the profits of silver, her grain than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all things you may desire cannot compare with her. Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So Job says in verse 20, he says, from where then does wisdom come? Now Job first asks, where can it be found? And now he says, where does it come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living, concealed from the birds of the air. So the wisdom that we need, that man says it doesn't know its value, it's literally hidden from the eyes of all the living creatures on this planet. And look what he says. Destruction and death, look what they say. Well, we've heard a report. In other words, that word means rumor. We've heard a rumor about it with our ears. Remember, it's not in the land of the living. It's not in the land of the dead. He says, call upon those who have died. Go as deep as death. And you know what? You're not going to find it there at all. But now listen to Job, the next verse. He knew what his three buddies didn't know. God understands its ways, or wisdom's ways, and he knows wisdom's place. Listen to me now. Only God and no one else. Only God knows where to find wisdom, because only wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from this planet. It doesn't come from knowledge. Do you understand? Only comes from God. You know, you can go from one corner of the universe to the other and discover the planets, you know, and all that, like I was talking about a minute ago. And you know, you can discover a planet and they'll name it, and 6 months later they're going to say, well, it really wasn't a planet. Do you understand? I just read the other day that we've discovered, what was it? They think water on Mars. You know, what? It's great, I guess, they're doing that. I don't know. I'm not going to Mars. I don't want to go to Mars. Why would anyone want to go to Mars? Do you understand? No, I don't even want to go to the moon. You know, why is it that there's alien life? Yeah, you're an alien unless you're with God. Amen? Yeah, I'm an alien of this planet. I don't belong here. I have no continuing city. No, I have a home in heaven. No, listen. Aliens, what is that? I don't care. I don't care if someone asked me the other day, well, what if an alien appeared? I said, I don't care. Well, what if you found out that God was a Calvinist? So what? Is it going to, oh man, my world just crumbled? Or God is only an Arminianist? Or what? You know, all this nonsense that man comes up with. I believe in God no matter what God, what he says. I know that he's real. I know that he's alive. I know that he's changed my life. And I know what God says in his word, so I don't have to worry about any of the rest of it. Amen? No, listen, loved one. Boy, he says, I know where it all of it is. You know, you can go out and discover the fountains of youth. Boy, I'm going to live for 1,000 years. I'm taking 20,000 vitamins a day. I'm working out. I'm never going to eat anything but sissy chicken grilled without the skin, no butter. I'd never have butter or salt again. And I'm going to, No. So what? But if you desire wisdom, if you really want God's wisdom, there is only one source of wisdom in all of the universe, and he is our Father which art in heaven. Amen. Whenever King David passed the throne on to his son Solomon, And Solomon had a dream in the middle of the night. He was praying into the Lord, and he says, oh, Lord, here I am your servant, and there's all these people out here now that I'm the king. And he says, I'm young, I'm inexperienced, I don't know how to go in, I don't know how to go out, Lord. He says, oh, I pray, you know, would you give me an understanding heart that I can reign or help your people? And boy, the Lord in the vision said, oh man, that's a great request. You didn't ask for silver, you didn't ask for gold, you didn't ask for a long life. And it says that God granted his request. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom. Not Jerusalem University. Do you understand? God gave something that can only come from heaven, and that is his wisdom. And it says he gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding. And largeness of heart, listen now, like the sand of the sea. What does that mean? It means that Solomon's wisdom that came from God could not be measured. Do you understand? It was limitless, unbelievable. And he says, thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Now, for he was wiser than all men. Proverbs 2:6. The Lord gives wisdom. No one else does. Are you listening to me? The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now listen, to the extent that you do God's word in your life is the extent of the wisdom that you possess. This is a book of God's wisdom. Amen? Yes, it is. Now look at verse 24. For he looks to the ends of the earth, talking about God, and he sees under the whole heavens. In other words, God sees everything with just an effortless glance, if you will. To establish the weight of the wind. Ooh, that's powerful. To establish the weight of the wind. Man, listen to that. And apportion the waters by measure. How does that happen? And when God made a law for rain, and God made a path for the thunderbolt. So God prescribed the laws that govern his own creation. God's wisdom adjusts, it says there, the weight of the rain. What does that mean? I mean, think about that for a minute. It means the pressure of the wind. This is a strong wind. This is a light wind. This is gentle wind. Think about that for a moment. Who can calculate such things as that? That's above my pay grade. Do you understand? I look and I say, oh, Lord, man. And then he said, then God, look what he did. He saw wisdom. He declared it. God prepared it. Indeed, God searched it out. And to man, God said this, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. How can anyone depart from evil unless, what God has determined is made known to him by revelation in God's word. Amen? Listen, Job just said one of the greatest things in the world. In one sentence, he tells us where to find wisdom. Remember Proverbs 9:10? The fear of man is the beginning of wisdom. I'm just saying, if you're listening, I know how you Wednesday people are. You came and had a nice lasagna, now you're sleepy. You know, that garlic bread, and I think there was chocolate cake. You probably had two pieces. Oh, yeah. Now you're going, oh, I just want to go home, Bill. I'm tired. No, listen, loved one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Do you see that? That's what he's saying right there. Listen, if you haven't started, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you haven't started there in your life, Christian, you have not started. You haven't started at all. Wisdom begins always with the fear, the awe, the loving reverence of God. That is wisdom. No wonder Solomon wrote later in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. This is a man's whole duty. Keep his commandments. 1 John 5, what is it? 1 John 5, 3. This is love for God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're not going to weigh you down. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Paul wrote in Colossians 2:3, it says, for in him, meaning in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Listen, Jesus, our Lord, is the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge in the entire universe. Amen? There isn't anything that he doesn't know. He knows everything. He knows what time you're going to go to bed tonight. He knows if you're going to get up in the middle of the night. He knows what time you're going to wake up in the morning. He knows if you're going to oversleep. He knows if you're going to be late for work. He knows if you're going to pray, if you're not going to pray. Are you listening to me? He knows the Bible says God knows every secret thing. There's not anything that God doesn't know. He knows absolutely everything. Man, listen. Here we are, we have our Bibles tonight. It is the absolute, perfect, divine, unchangeable wisdom and knowledge of God. How can we as believers turn to this world for anything when we have the wisdom of God right here? Job said, behold, I love it, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil, that is understanding. Wisdom when? Wisdom for life, right this minute. You're not going to need any wisdom when you get to heaven, loved one. Right? Are y'all with me? Okay, I'm just checking. I'm kind of insecure tonight, all right? No. Listen, there's only two types or kinds of wisdom in the entire world. There is wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world, which is foolishness to God, isn't it? There's wisdom, it says in James 3:17, I think, through 19, there's wisdom from above, that's God's wisdom, and then there's wisdom below. Actually, that's demonic wisdom. That right there is, that wisdom below is man's fallen wisdom. And I tell you that you, every person, is either drinking from the cistern of one or the other. There's no in between. You're either going for God's wisdom or the world's wisdom. Amen? And God says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom, not the knowledge now, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Now, turn in your Bibles, and let's just make a quick application in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 2 with me. Proverbs chapter 2 is it's not too far, just turn over there. And look at the value of wisdom with me in chapter 2 of Proverbs, beginning in verse 1. Now watch this. This is how you mine for wisdom and how you dig for it, all right? He says, Solomon writes, and he says, my son, if. So there is a condition already concerning this promise. He says, if you do something. If you receive, first of all, if you receive my words, meaning the word of God, and if you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to what? Wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding. Did you see the steps there? That first step, it says to welcome the word of God into your life, into your heart, and do it every day. The second step, what did it say to do? It says to treasure. That word means to store up. To store up God's word in your inner man, in your inner woman, into your heart within you. And the third step, look what it says, and apply your heart. So whatever you hear in God's word, then make it an application to hear it and do it. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 4:24? He said this, take heed what you hear, for with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Boy, that's a very important thing, to hear God's word and to put God's word into practice. Look at verse 3. He says, yes, and then he uses that condition again, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. So the fourth step is one of the greatest ways for wisdom to come about, and that is prayer. If you cry out, it said, if you lift up your voice for understanding, prayer is always the work, loved one. And look at verse 4, and there's that condition again, if you seek her, meaning God's wisdom, you seek it, God's wisdom as silver, and you search for wisdom, God's wisdom, as for hidden treasure. So the third step here is the fifth step, we must mine out God's word. And the only way we can do that is to search it out like it's treasure, because it is. Whenever I prepare a sermon, I always go to the Psalms and I pray the same prayer. Lord, show me wondrous things from thy word. In other words, there's millions of treasures and nuggets, but you have to dig for that. Does that make sense? You have to want it, man. You have to delight in it. You have to go after it. He says, and then, verse 5, then, and I'm going to say, and only then, you will understand the fear of the Lord. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? So then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and watch this, and find the knowledge of God. That means to find it, it means it's available for you, okay? It's ready to be found. And our answer, though, is in that key word, then. So if you apply all of the steps, if you receive or welcome, if you treasure or store up, if you incline your ear, if you apply what you've heard, if you cry out, if you lift up, if you seek, if you search for the wisdom of God, it's available. He says you will find it. Listen to me now. Obtaining true spiritual wisdom from God. You know, I know I have two devotionals, for example, I read every morning as part of my devo. You know what I mean? And I've done the same ones for years and years. As a matter of fact, I've given them out to the staff. They have the same devotion that I have. But you know something? It's not found by just a simply morning devotion or a nightly devotion. Did you know that? From my wisdom. It's not found, well, I'm just going to read my Bible. Yes, it's wonderful to do that, but it's not found exactly that way. See, you have to dig into the Word of God like it's precious treasure, don't you? Do you understand? You have to dig. You have to mine it out, just like you would be going after the riches of silver and gold and diamonds and whatever else is in the earth. It's the same thing. You've got to go there and say, you know what? There is treasure here, man. And I'm going to dig and I'm going to dig until I get all of it because it all belongs to you. Again, what does it say in Proverbs 2:6? The Lord gives wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to live a very wise life. And here's the thing. If you want wisdom, you have to go to the one who dispenses wisdom, and that's God. Look at verse 7. He stores up, or literally he treasures up, what kind of wisdom? Sound wisdom. That's healthy wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves or literally protects the way of the saints, the set apart ones. Then, talking about wisdom, you will understand righteousness. In other words, you'll know what's right. You'll understand justice. That's what is just in this life. Equity. That means what's fair in this life. And every good path. Man, and what is verse 10? I don't think what is verse 10? It says there, and when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. That's what God's wisdom does. Listen to me now. I've said that about 30 times tonight, haven't I? My editor, my radio editor, is going to say, Bill, can you just not quit repeating things? Listen, no. Is there an area in your life, loved one, where you say, Bill, I'm kind of falling apart in this particular area right now? Well, then, you know, you need to go to God's Word. And you need to find out what God says in His Word. And then you need to apply it. Now, listen, wisdom is the right use of God's Word. Amen? You do what God says. This is the wisdom of God to you, loved one. No, listen, and when you apply God's knowledge, meaning a doer of the Word, something happens. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 7:24? He says, therefore I say unto you, whoever hears these sayings of mine, meaning the Word of God, and doeth them, I will liken him unto what kind of man? A wise man who built his house upon the rock and the rains and the storms, they all came. But the house didn't fall. He says, but whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man, an unwise man who built his home, his life, his family's life on the sand. Oh, the storms of life came, and great was the fall of that house, loved one. Listen, the only way that we're going to make it is to do what God says in His Word. Amen? Excuse me. My allergies are... Oh, hallelujah. Whew, I love this season that I'm in. You know it? It's just a scratchy time, and it's wonderful. Why do you think so many people, Christians today, when trials come into their life, why do so many Christians fail in a trial? You ever ask yourself that? In other words, why? What are they doing wrong? I think that they don't do what the Bible says. Do you know, if you're in a trial, do you know what the very first essential, not prayer or faith, those are another two essentials, but the first essential that God says in His Word that you need if you're going through a horrible time of trial, do you know what the first essential He said you need? It's wisdom. He says you need wisdom. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 2:6 again, the Lord gives wisdom. And again, if you want wisdom, you have to go to the one who's going to give it. In the book of James, it talks about trials. Let me read it to you in James 1:5. It's talking about the testings, the trials that we go through in this life. If any one of you lacks wisdom, well, man, if you're in a trial, don't you think you need wisdom? Absolutely. You don't need knowledge. You know you're in a trial. You know what you're facing. You need wisdom in the trial. Amen? He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Not courage, not for strength, none, or relief. He says, I want you to ask for wisdom, who gives to all liberally or so generously and without reproach. God says, oh, well, you might say, well, Lord, here I am again. God says, it's okay. Just come on in. He says, and it will be given to him. Are you in a trial? You may not be tonight, but you will be one day in your life, trust me. And God says, listen, you know what? You can be certain, if you ask God, you can be certain that God will impart wisdom, but there is a catch. It says, but let him, let her ask in faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God, okay? He says, let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or that kind of man, that kind of person, suppose that he will receive anything, wisdom or anything else, anything from the Lord. For he's a double-minded man. He is unstable in all his ways. Are you in a trial? Then there's a commandment there to obey. Not an option, a commandment. He says, oh, let him ask God. And when you do so because God is the source of all wisdom. And there you are, and God imparts that to you. Man, loved one, that's exactly what you need. Listen, did you know if you read James, where I'm reading from, and really study it out, did you know that the suggestion in James concerning a trial, when you ask for wisdom, that it doesn't come by study? Read it for yourself. It comes by prayer. Let him ask God. Let him go to God. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. Listen, if I'm in a trial, I need wisdom. I need to know what to do, when to do, what not to do, and how to do it. Amen? I need discernment. You can't find it on earth. You have to go to heaven. You have to go and pray. Prayer is the work. Your answer for your trial right now, if you're in one, is in heaven. It's at the throne of grace. Go there. Ask God. God, I need wisdom. God says, I'm going to pour it out on you, man. I'm going to do it so liberally, you know, and so forth. Listen, the measure of your desire will be the measure of your possession, loved one. Prayer is the work. Faith is what pleases God. You believe. God won't lie. He'll never lie to you. God's word is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. Amen? Listen, you go to the Lord. No sincere seeker for God's wisdom in a trial will ever be turned away. Never. If you just believe. That's all it takes. I believe you, Lord. Now listen, the Bible says, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? In other words, the wise person. Where is the scribe or the scholars and so forth? Where is the disputer of the age? And has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Listen, we live in a foolish world, flooded with foolish wisdom. Have you ever just, don't you marvel sometimes at our world, the foolishness that we see? Oh, gosh, listen, where are all the smart people today? You know, where are the answers for all the problems that we're going through? That 1 Corinthians that I just read from 120, love one, that was written 2,000 years ago. And, you know, is the world any better off today? No. Horrible, demonic prejudice and racism and anti-Semitics and Semitism and all the rest of it. It's horrible. You know, we have gun legislation. We have school shootings, this kind of shootings. It's crazy today. You know, listen, where's the wisdom at? How do we get the opiate, the pain killer, what is it called? Opiates? whatever it is, opioids. What are you going to do about that? Well, we have knowledge that there's a problem, but we don't know how to solve it. California needs water. The Mojave Desert, did you know one of the largest aquifers in America is right there in the Mojave Desert? Water, it's unbelievable. But what are they going to do with it? How are they going to, do you understand what I'm saying? You can have all kinds of knowledge, but you have to have the wisdom of God, loved one. That's what it is, earthly wisdom. I'm telling you, always fails to recognize God. Always. Man doesn't want God. Fallen man, that is. Oh, no. Human wisdom will always deny the message of the cross, deny the Savior, and all the rest of it. Man cannot solve his problems, and you know why? Because he refuses to believe the source of the problem, and that's sin. He's sin. No. Man's wisdom always lowers God's wisdom. That's what man does. There's no wisdom to be found here except in this book you hold between, right here, amen? This is God's wisdom to us. It says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom's the principal thing. It's the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man who listens to me, meaning wisdom, watching daily at the gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me, meaning wisdom, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. Speaking of wisdom. Matter of fact, look at Proverbs 1, right above Proverbs 2, and look at this verse right here. It says in verse 29 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of God's counsel. In other words, they don't want his wisdom. They despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. They'll be filled with their own, full of their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. Here it comes, talking about wisdom. But whoever listens to me, the wisdom of God, okay, will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. You know, wisdom from the ash heap. There with Job and his three friends. You know, we say, well, I need wisdom. Where can wisdom be found? If you're holding it in your hands. You have it on your nightstand at home. You have it on your coffee table, perhaps. You carry it in your car. You have it on your iPhone. It's called the Holy Word of God. Amen? That's what we need. It's right there with you right this minute. You know, before we close, let me just say something about chapter 28. If you remember what God said about Job there in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he said, behold, here is a man who fears God, blameless, upright, one, a man who fears God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This was in chapter 1. A man who fears God and shuns evil. Man, if you understand what I just said, loved one, listen to me. Job had what his three friends didn't have. Are you following me? They didn't fear the Lord. They thought they had the answer from God about everything, but they didn't. But Job did. See, Job truly did fear the Lord. And he knew that it was the beginning of all wisdom. That's why he said as I close, behold the fear of the Lord. Look what he says now. That is wisdom. I agree, Job. Indeed, that is wisdom. Father, we praise you tonight for this great chapter. And I feel in my heart, I know that I didn't do justice to this great chapter, but I did my best, Lord. And I'm so thankful for this chapter. I love this chapter. Father, you are the source of all wisdom. Help us to look to you, to devour your word, to meditate upon your word, to store it up into our heart, to cry out for it. Lord, let us denounce the world's foolishness because it's not wisdom. And let us embrace your wisdom and dig for it like treasure because it surely and truly belongs to us. Lord, I don't know the needs of your people tonight, but I know you do. You know everything about them right now. Their fear, maybe a loneliness. maybe unemployment, maybe sickness, fear of death, maybe fear that you don't love them, or fear that they've not been forgiven, or maybe they don't know which way to go. They don't know if they need to turn to the right or turn to the left. They don't know if they're to remain steady or to move forward. But you know, for you are God. You're the source of all wisdom. Lord, saturate your sheep with your presence. Embrace each and every heart that's here tonight. And if there's anything troubling or meddling in the heart that you own, Father, by your grace and goodness, would you displace it far from them and flood their heart with your peace and your joy and your assurance. And you guide them, O Father, home safely tonight. Prosper everything they do, Lord. Help them have a time of prayer, Lord, that's filled with you and your presence and your peace and your purpose and your plan. And let the first words out of their mouths in their prayer time be, "Oh God, I love you and I praise you, for you are worthy to be praised." We love you tonight, Lord. Maybe those tonight, there's anyone even here, Lord, they're unsure of their salvation, that they would just cry out to you right now and say, "Oh Lord, save me if I'm not saved. Jesus, if you're not the Lord of my life, be the Lord of my life right now." You cry that out if you're unsure. Cry it out right now to him. He loves you. And we give you praise. And we love you dearly. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? Isn't God good? Oh, he's...